Pyra. So let's talk a little bit about Pyra. Every Parsha in Chumash has the theme of what the central idea of that Parsha is about. Right? You have Tazria Metzaira. Whoever talks about it, he's going to wind up talking about Lashon Hara. You talk about Shlach, you talk about Meraglim. Any speech they give you, some way or another way, it goes back to about the love of Eretz Yisrael. If you look what is the theme, if you look at any sefer in the world, what the theme of Parshas Korach is, the theme of Korach is talking about machlokes. A person has to stick away from machlokes and from arguments and how to be able to live peacefully amongst society. That's really the source. That's the theme of the Parsha. Now, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin on the Kuf Yud, which I'd like to start with. The Gemara states like Sanhedrin Kuf Yud, Kol HaMachzik B'machlekes. That means anybody that keeps a fight going, you violate a law. Where do we see this? I mean, if somebody has a fight going, maybe between neighbors, maybe between spouses, maybe between, many times what happens is between relatives that are fighting about a Yerusha, that's a real Jewish fight. You violate a law. It's a law that arises to keep a fight going. Now, I'm talking about a Shenemar. The Pasuk says, the Loya Kikoyach Bechad Basai. The Pasuk says that there shouldn't be a fight like Korach and his group. So the Gemara says that if somebody goes and keeps a fight going, he violates that law. So let's just talk for 1 minute. Before we get to the Hashkafic issue behind it, I just want to talk about first, let's talk about the Halachic issue. The Gemara says you violate a law. Is it a real law that arises or not? The Rambam, with a mem, says the Gemara doesn't mean to say that it's an act, this does not count it as a actual love. But the Rambam says there's a hisset to hate a Jew. And you have to love a Jew. So what's the additional thing about v'layia k'koyach v'chad v'asay? So the Rambam explains what the Gemara means to say to your over a love is you're looking for trouble. If somebody keeps a fight of neighbors going, a shoe fight going, any political thing that's a nasty thing going, ultimately that's going to lead to a love. That's how the Rambam learns. Rambam learns it's not an actual lav. What the Gemara means is you're asking for trouble when you keep a fight going. The Chafetz Chaim, Paskin's not like that. The Chafetz Chaim, in the beginning of Hilchos Lashon Hara, he writes, how many averus can a person be over in Lashon Hara? The Chafetz Chaim writes that the Isser of that one should not be like Korach and his group is an actual lav. He counts it, the Chafetz Chaim, when he starts the Isurim, which are involved with Lashon Hara, he says there's 18 Isurim which one could be over with Lashon Hara. One of them, he says, that we shouldn't follow in Korach's ways. Now, the Chafetz Chaim says something which is an incredible thing. He says that if you look through Jewish history, and you go from the times of the Goyim and the Rishonim, he says that one of the Jewish sicknesses, you know, today if you go and you ask around, I guess in a hospital, they'll tell you stomach cancer is a very Jewish sickness. It's a fact. It's very genetic in Ashkenazim in particular, right? Having stomach problems. The Chafetz Chaim says that traditionally, Jews always had Machlekes was something which was going on by the Jewish community throughout the years. I mean, you had the Hasidim versus the non-Hasidim. You had the Yernis and Eibishitz against Rabbi Yaakov Emden. You had the different groups that existed in every group in Europe and so forth. And the Chafetz Chaim said it's a Jewish Avera which we can't get rid of. And he says the reason what happened, the reason where it comes from is that we're people that were thinkers. We're not to pushovers. So if we're not pushovers, what happens is everybody has an independent thought. One guy thinks one guy, one thing thinks the other way. And, you know, it's very, very hard. So, yeah, okay, the problem is, I want to talk about this, that some of those machlokas is world l'shem shemayim, but ultimately it turned nasty. I'm going to get there in a second. There's a sefer, Chamra V'chaya. I don't know who wrote it. Chamra means wine, V'chaya and wife. It's a sefer on Sanhedrin. It's one of the most used Svarim on Sanhedrin. It's from a Sfardisha. And his name was Reb Chaim Ben Bashi. He lived in the time of the Pes Yosef. So you're going back to the 1400s, the 1500s. He says, I want a Dezer, and I saw this today. And I almost freaked when I saw it. So the first time I heard about this to my wife. The Chamra V'chaya says, listen to this carefully. The Issah to be like Kairach, we, that you're not going to sit and keep a fight, a nasty fight going, we assume that it's true. Well, if you're 50% right, if you're 20% right, if you're 60% right, you're 80% right, you're 90% right, that's when the machlekes, that's when the issur is applicable. Now listen to what he says, and put on your seatbelt. He says, no, you're wrong. Because if you're 20%, if you're wrong partially, that's not shaila. You don't need a laugh to tell me that you can't keep a machlekes going. That's partial, that's wrong. Even if you're 100% right, he says, the issur is still to what? The issur is still to keep the machlekes going. If you're wrong, what do you mean? If you're wrong, then say you're wrong. That's not the issue. The issur is, even if you're 100% right, and you think you're 100% right, you still have an issur. Okay? And he says, where's Israel? He says that Moshe Rabbeinu went to visit Dasan Vavira, and he went to try to work something out. The Gemara says, from here we derive that you shouldn't keep a machlokes going. And I said, Moshe Rabbeinu versus Dasan Vavira. I'll put that in my head to bet $50 million to one. Who was right? I would bet Moshe Rabbeinu was right. But what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He went to visit the Dasan Vavira, who said, you don't keep a machlokes going. He says, the Chamra V'chaya. It's a proof of it that the Issur to keep machlokes going. It's not only if what? It's not only when you're partially right, even when you're 100% right. And I want to share with you something which I heard from somebody that lives in today's generation. It's one of the most phenomenal stories, which, you know, people always ask me, what's a good safe to learn? Somebody that, it's particularly two Jews, yeah. Somebody that spoke for today's generation. Is there any Kurash Kafaswar? Somebody that spoke for today's generation. Yes, I want to tell you, I want to share with you. I think some of it's written in English, because I know I suggested it once to someone here, and I know some of his writings were translated in English. I don't know if all of them were. Because the person's name was Shimshim Pinkas. It's Shem Shem Pinkas is one of the most beautiful, beautiful orators of today's generation. He was nifta approximately. He was killed in a car crash around 10, 12 years ago. And he has a beautiful twist based on this Chamra V'chaya. So this follows. Says there's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, which I'm going to get to a little bit back, but what somebody wrote about him, Jake Fuchs wrote, the Mishnah gives a description, what's a machlekes l'shem shemayim? So the Mishnah says, Hil v'shamay is a machlekes l'shem shemayim. What's a machlekes shalay l'shem shemayim? So the Mishnah says, that's kairach with Moshe Rabbeinu. So he says, well, listen to this, listen to what he says here. Now the Gemara tells us, the Pasuk tells in this week's parasha, they'll never, you should not be like Kairach and his group of people. Says Shem Shem Pinkas, hold on again. Put on your whatchamacallit again. Your seatbelt. Listen to the number one chiddush. The Mishnah says again, what's an example of machlokes l'shem shemayim? Hil v'shamay. What's an example of machlokes l'shem shemayim? The ksais and the asinus. The Rambam and the Raidim. Abai and Rava. If you want to put this. Put it today's generation. That's beautiful. The Mishnah says, what's a machlekes shalay l'shem shemayim? The Mishnah says, that's kairach Moshe Rabbeinu. Says Reb Shem Shem Pinkas, listen to this carefully. The Pasuk says, v'loyia ki kairach b'chadasa. They'll never be like kairach and his group. Now listen to what he says. Listen good. Listen carefully. He says there will never, ever, 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 ever be a machlokes where one person is 100% right and the other person is 0% right. The last time that was in history was in the time of Korach. All other cases, there is no such thing in the world of 100-0. Korach, yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu was 100% right. Korach, we'll soon see, he did have a little bit positive motivation for what he did. But again, the only one in the world who we find was, like the way we say, was 100% right was Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, how does one recognize if a machlokes is l'shem shemayim or if a machlokes is shaloi l'shem shemayim? Now, there was somebody by the name of Avinson Eibschitz. There was somebody by the... let me just ask everybody else, because somebody sent through something on the chat that it's hard to hear. For the name of Avinson Eibschitz. Avinson Eibschitz, to give a little background, was probably the second most infamous machlekes. Then I'll go back close to the Wi-Fi there to get me clearer. The second most infamous machlekes that existed in Klal Yisrael was about Rabbi Anderson Eibschitz. Let me give you a little background. Who Rabbi Anderson Eibschitz was, for those that aren't familiar, okay? Right before Rabbi Anderson Eibschitz's time, there was someone by the name of Shabtai Tzvi, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with, was someone which crowned himself to be a Mashiach. And there was a lot of, and as we know what happened to him at the end was, he converted to Islam. Rabbi Anderson Eibschitz lived around 100 years after Shabtai Tzvi. He was very busy with writing tablets. And people, there was opposition to him that people felt that in some of his amulets, there was some type of allusion to the fact of some type of connection to what you're calling them. So Shabtai Tzvinism. So he says, how do you know? And he believed. So it happened to me, there was a machlokes between him and there was someone by the name of Yaakov Emden. And Yaakov Emden came very, very strongly out against him. He believed that originally when they were fighting with him, it was L'shem Shemayim. Afterwards, they started to, there were things that were done as in a personal attack against him. So he says, how do you know if machlokes is beneficial, if it's for real? How do you know if machlokes is for the sake of fighting? He says, furthermore, he says, everybody thinks that when you get to machlokes of learning, there's this dumb, which I say, silliness, which I've heard from many people that are particularly tuned in today, that, no, machlokes and learning between Beishami and Beisil, between Rashi and Tosfos, the Ksais and the Sivas. There's a right side and there's a wrong side. He says, clearly not like that. He says, the Ritzvah says in Masech Tzayuvim, when the Rebbe Shalom gave the Torah, with an approach of Beishamei, with an approach of Beisol, with an approach of Abaya, with an approach of Rav. He gave a Torah with the approach of the Rambam and the approach of the Raid. He gave the Torah with the approach of Shlomo Zalman and Rav Yashu, with the Ktzais and the Nesivas. They're all able to be the very Likim Chaim. Okay. What happens is, but there's one, and if somebody his whole life, he's going to want to focus on Beisham Meshita. Well, 100% gets Chai for Talmud Torah. Now, you want to know who you pass in Allah Chalam? I say, okay, there's Beis Hill. Rambam Naivi, there's a way, there is a methodology of how to decide a Machlokes or Rishayim. He says, Rebbeinu Snaibshitz, if the machlokes produces something good, okay, then you know, if the machlokes only is limited to the base medrash, to learning, then it's awesome. If the machlekes extends itself to something personal, then you know the machlekes is bad. Now, without going through the details, there's a very interesting Mishnah, Masechtas Yevamos. There's a machlekes in the Mishnah Yevamos between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, which discusses, are you allowed to marry a certain woman? So, according to Beis Hillel, it's a mitzvah to marry that woman, and it's mitzvah, it's, we know we give them as a mitzvah. That particular woman, according to Beis Hillel, is a hundred, it's a mitzvah to marry. Beis Shammai says that if you marry that woman, okay, if you marry that woman, stays in the Beis Medrash means that it's a machlokes which is all totally coming out of the fears and love of learning. Not that when it reaches something personal. So he gives a couple of examples. Let me just focus on this. The machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Are you allowed to marry that woman or you can't? Now, you know what happened that night? If somebody got married to, if a Beis Shammai person got married, to one of these, if a Beis Hillel person got married to one of these women who Beis Shammai felt was wrong, Beis Shammai attended the wedding and they danced and they said L'chaim and there was love one for another. Because the machlekes remains in the Beis Medrash. Right? It doesn't become personal. Machlekes, as we mentioned in learning, is something which actually preserved Torah. Why was that? It's not only because, of course, part of it came because there was a certain forgetfulness of Torah which existed. One of the reasons, of course, that there was shekhas Torah. There was the issue that there were no clarity. So Beis Shammai had a position, and Beis Hillel had a position. But the Rishonim say no. It's actually what preserved Torah. Why? Because Beis Shammai went to sleep with this whole argument proving his Shiva. Beis Hillel went to work day in, day out, working their Shiva. And what happened was that to a certain extent, when somebody is like, let's say, to give the example, for those that are presently in Rambam or graduated recently, you know, if you read Danny Kaufman's article, I think the guy goes to sleep thinking about Republicans. I mean, it takes him over, the whole thing. I think there's only three, four people here that can appreciate what I just said here. I think maybe Binyamin, and Effie, Kaj, Auerbach, Fuchs, some of the present-day Rambam boys would enjoy it. No problem. And Bench would also understand what I just said now. Goldschmidt will understand that. Because, remember, that's what gives the person a drive. It will give you, it's not negativity which it comes from. That's what gave the person the drive. The Mishnah says, the Mishnah talks about, in Masechtas Chagiga, it was a machlekes if you could bring a certain carbon on Yom Tov. Now what happened was, they still held you're allowed to bring it, Beis Shammai says you can't. Now, what happened was Beis Hillel would hide when they were traveling on the way to bring the carbon. They would travel on the way and they would hide the carbon that they were bringing. Why did they hide the carbon they were bringing? Because Beis Hillel knew if Beis Shammai would find them bringing that carbon, they would attack them. So they hit it. You know what it says in the Yerushalmi afterwards? It was Yom Tov. Afterwards, they celebrated together. Okay. So, in regards to the question which was written onto the chat, that's exactly a machlekes of Moshe and Kairach. Because they're doing the same thing. The later generations of things that you wrote over there is another example of Moshe and Kairach. Somebody questioning the Torah. You see what I just said, Jake? The last time, meaning to say that you'll find the machlekes which is 100% right and 0% right, is when somebody's questioning the Torah. I want to share with you one last point which I think it touched me very much, and I want to share the title. Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish were brother-in-laws. Now, for those that aren't familiar, Rish Lakish was originally a robber, and in Shas, throughout Shas, Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish are arguing continuously. And for those that aren't familiar, Rish Lakish met Rabbi Yechonah, and he was a robber jumping from one side of the river to the other side of the river. And Rish Lakish told Rabbi Yechon told Rish Lakish, you know, you got a lot of energy. You should use that energy for learning. So Rish Lakish tells back Rabbi Yechon, he's such a good looking person. It's a chabal that your looks weren't given for women. That's what he told him. So Rabbi Yechon tells Rish Lakish, I'll make a deal with you. You take that energy that you have for learning, I promise you my sister. That's what happens. Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish eventually married Rabbi Yechon's sister and their brother Moshe. For 24 years, whatever Rabbi Yechon said, Rish Lakish was arguing. If you look, one of the most common people besides Abai and Rav in the Gemara's time arguing is Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish. And this went on. Rabbi Yechon said one thing, Rish Lakish said another thing. Rabbi Yechon did. Yet Rish Lakish was next to the Gemara, says Rabbi Yechon lost his mind. That's what it says. So there was one guy there, a Talmud. So he figured he's going to save the day. Everything Rabbi Yechon said, he said, Tanya Ramahachi, Tanya Ramahachi, Tanya Ramahachi, I'll bring you a proof, I'll bring you a proof. Rabbi Yechon said, get out of here. He said, why? He says, when Rish Lakish was alive, everything I said, he got Eisvei, I loved him. I don't need people to bring proofs to me. I want you to try to see if I'm correct. I want to see that if somebody's questioning me, right? Somebody's questioning me, is there room for the question or not? And Maya tells us what happened at the end. Now, Rish Lakish, remember, originally was Rabbi Yechon's Talmud, yet he became his own independent Tamchach. So again, another guy came in. He brought Tanya Ramachi. They threw the guy out. I said, I have no need to. The Gemara says that the Rabbanim were mispaul, the Rabbi Yechon should be nefta. Because he lost his mind. He couldn't control himself. So first of all, on a side point, the Ran says that sometimes it's a mispaul for somebody to die. You know what I mean? The Ran says if somebody's clinically ill and the person's just suffering, he says, of course, we're not Dr. Kevorkian. We don't believe in pulling plugs, but you should die. Maybe if he's suffering, maybe the person should die. So there's a Sefer Chassidim, nothing to do with Chassidim of the Baal Shem Tov. Sefer Chassidim was written by Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid is in the latter Baalei HaTaisis. Anybody ever heard these people that don't marry brother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws don't give the same names as father-in-laws and son-in-laws don't give the same names and so forth? It was something by the name of Yehuda HaChassid. So I want to finish off one thought. That's the Marit Kakasha. They was vowed that he should die if they lost his mind. That's the Pashta Kasha. Why would they misspell that Bechon should die? Bechon lost his mind. Why don't they misspell that he should get back his mind? Listen to what he says. And listen to the seatbelt. And this is exactly the way I feel right now. Listen to what he says, and I want you to listen well, and I want you to hold your seatbelt. He says, if they would daven that Bechon should get back his mind, it would be pointless, only be worse. What's going to happen? He's going to get back his mind and he's going to remember again the Rish Lakish was nefta. He says the connection, so it's just a nice thing to finish off this, between a Rebbe and a Talmud is, the Rebbe thinks so much about the Talmud, is that even if you're going to cause him to get back the mind, what's going to do is he's just going to miss him even more. Some nice thoughts about how to keep Machlokes. This is from Machlokes. Some nice thoughts about how what kept Klal Yisrael going through the generation of Torah was through Machlokes. And a nice thought at the end, if I say, even for those that left me a few years ago, Shmuel, Effie, and and Sam and Shmuel Sam, whichever way you want to know, and the Olam that left me mid March and just deserted me. So I came a couple times to my room and upstairs in double bass. I can't find anybody by Shachas or whatever. I missed the Olam, and it's nice to see the Olam get back at the cover to share something on the parasha. We're just trying to say.